This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction with Chicago baseball expert Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Chicago. Jacked up here because we're getting closer to opening day. The Cubs are leaving for Japan. I'm Ryan McGuffey. Bruce Levine's down in Arizona, where I'll ask him just in a second here which place is actually nicer right now. I know no one wants to hear that Arizona is not nice, but we'll talk about that in a second. Is Matt Shaw making the trip to Japan this week? Well, we'll talk more with Bruce here. 312-644-6767. If you guys want to get involved, we'd love hearing your thoughts, whether you agree with us, disagree with us, or in between. White Sox outfielder Mike Talkman joins us at 9:30. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown could be the X factor this year, top of the hour, 10 o'clock. Some stuff to talk about in White Sox camp. A couple more guys going under the knife with Tommy John. Bruce! Out in Arizona. How are you, my friend? Looks like you have a coat on out there. I know the Cubs and Sox were rained out yesterday in the desert.
Two coats. Underneath the coat here, and then the marquee jacket on top.
Oh,
free
boy.
Swag, of course.
Of course. You know. Representing.
And, yeah, it's 46 and sunny. I'll take that anytime. Chicago or Arizona, I'll take it. Today it'll probably be up in the middle to high 60s, sunny. What's there not to like? Okay, so take it while I can get it. Come home on the 11th when the Cubs go to Japan, and back in Chi-Town getting ready for the regular season.
Well, it's 46. Well, it's not currently 46. It will be 46 and sunny here, so we will take that here in Chicago. Bruce, the Cubs are leaving on Tuesday for the much-anticipated trip to Japan. They'll have a couple of exhibition games against Japanese teams before taking on the Dodgers. I want to get to Japan and kind of what it means and everything here in just a second, but what have you seen and what have you noticed in Mesa from this Cubs team? Because they had to report early. They have these couple of games. It's a weird trip because they'll come back afterwards and have to go back to spring training. But what have you – is this team ready to go? Do you feel like they're amped up because of these two games against the Dodgers?
Yeah, Ryan, this is more like March 20th for the Chicago Cubs rather than March the 8th because of the fact that they're starting the regular season with two important games on the 18th and 19th in Tokyo. So with that in mind, you know, Craig Counsell talked a lot about yesterday the fact that he's been energized, more energized by this spring training camp than any he can remember, because everybody had a sense of urgency that they had to be ready coming in and that they had to be not in mid-season form, but in late spring training form to get ready for the trip to Japan and be ready to, you know, compete for something that really means something. I mean, okay, there are two games in middle of March, but they're going to count in the standings, and it's going to be important. How important? Will you push your people beyond their limits? No. But will you have more people ready when you send that roster of 29 and a total of 31 with the taxi squad ready to play in Japan? So, yes, they feel they're ready. Yes, they're energized. And they, more importantly, outside of Assad, Shaw for a while, and of course Horner coming in from surgery, they've had a pretty injury-free spring training to this point.
Well, let's hear from Craig Counsell on the roster being amped up as this Japan trip is looming.
I think it's been a lot of fun, and I think it's created some urgency for our players that's helpful. I think our pitching department did a fabulous job over the off season in getting these guys ready. And you know, like we said, coming into kind of February 9th, like in a more prepared place. And I think that's kind of borne out a little bit through this last month. So really, really proud of the work that they did in kind of getting our pitchers there. And then obviously the work the pitchers did. So, you know, if you've been through a lot of springs, different is good. It really is. And I think you should kind of look forward to something different.
I like that, how he ended that soundbite right there with different is good, because there is a monotonous part, even covering spring training, as you know, Bruce, there's a monotonous part to the routine. And these guys are so routine oriented and regimented that to break it up a little bit, I can make an argument that the trip is weird and you come back and you have to have a break. You can't just dive back into Major League Baseball games when you have such a time change, et cetera. But maybe this is what the Cubs need. I mean, it's two marquee games, no pun intended, against the World Series champions, and the Cubs have been talking about 90 wins and getting to the postseason all offseason and all spring. So maybe right out of the gate, you get the litmus test in Japan.
You know, I agree with you, Ryan. I mean, again, the concern always for baseball is when you have to go, whether it's WBC every 4 years or you're starting the season in Japan like the Cubs and the Dodgers, the concern is you're ramping up your pitchers too quickly. You're burning them out too quickly. They have to be season ready too quickly. And by August and September, you have a burnt out staff. That's the concern. You know, the Cubs have no choice. They couldn't say, well, we're not going. Okay, that's just, you know, this is it's an important international trip for MLB and the Cubs and the Dodgers. All the players, all the staff are really looking forward to going to Japan. It's not like going to London, okay, like the Cubs did a couple years ago in June. To me, those trips are ridiculous, okay? We understand the international impact and attraction it brings to MLB, but baseball is never happening anytime soon in London, okay? You know, they're playing rounders or whatever games, you know, the English play. You know, soccer is big there, and, you know, I think drinking is a big sport there as well. But in reality, the Japan trip always makes sense because for 100 years, that culture, since Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig did a barnstorming tour there in the late 20s and early 30s every offseason, baseball has been a really important sport in Japan. So everything about going to Japan and now the ascension of great players from Japan dominating the sport in some ways makes it totally realistic to start in Japan. It's a really good move. But going to these other places, you know, forget about it. It makes no sense other than getting the attraction that MLB wants on, hey, we're going to play in, you know, going to play in at the Vatican next week, you know, hit grounders there. So, I mean, again, it doesn't make sense, but Japan makes total sense.
You just actually laid out a perfect case. I could not agree more, because I felt that a little bit with Japan, but now that you've the London thing really just that slams it home for me, because the London stuff, you're breaking up the routine, and you're doing it right in the middle of a season and right in the middle of, you know, pennant chases. Some guys are injured, some guys are not. You're right. I think that's really good logic right there. If you're going to do something like this, you start the season and you get everybody excited about starting a season. And it's great. Like, let's be honest. It's awesome for the Japanese players on both sides, on both the Dodgers and the Cubs, to be able to play regular season baseball games in Japan. So, Bruce, we've talked a lot about Matt Shaw on this show the last 4-plus weeks. We thought at one point there was no chance that he was going to make this trip to Japan. And then he got in games last weekend, and he's been playing and been playing at a pretty high level. I've seen him both at the plate and in the field. He made a charging move the other day at a ground ball that was pretty impressive for a guy who's had an oblique injury. He looks, at least from 2,000 miles away, he looks the part. How does he look in person? And, I saw a tweet from you yesterday that said we're going to have to wait until Monday. This is still being determined. The Cubs want him to win this job.
Well, Monday is when they have to tell him you're on the plane. It'd be nice to let him know, you're either on the backfield here in Mesa or you're going to Japan with a plus one. So it's going to be, he'll know probably today or tomorrow. Council will let us know by Monday. But there's bigger fish to fry with Matt Shaw as to his readiness for domestic opening day. Let's hear from Craig Council yesterday talking about whether or not this guy is actually even going to make the Major League roster.
Are there chances that he could have started AAA and continue his progress for a couple weeks there, depending on what you guys see?
Yes. I mean, no decision has been made there. Again, we're getting close. And that means a decision has to be made soon. But we haven't made a decision there. So I think all things with Matt are still.
All right. So that got clipped a little bit there, but obviously the decision is still up in the air, as you mentioned to and alluded to before the soundbite there from Craig Council. Bruce, talk about the snowball effect from there. If he were to make the team, like, what does it mean for other players? If he goes, I think AAA was actually brought up, which you and I were talking offline about the surprise of that. What are the ramifications if Matt Shaw goes to Japan to play, and if he stays home and gets sent to AAA, what does that look like?
Well, again, they're most concerned about him getting repetitions at third base, okay? It's not his regular position. He's a natural second baseman, okay? The throw is the concern. Baseball IQ-wise, this guy is going to be able to make the transition. As far as his three-quarter throw right now, sometimes it has its sinker effect getting to first base. And he has a lot of work to do still. There's plenty of time. It's March the 9th, okay? They don't start it's 8th. It's the 27th when they start here in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. It's a good amount of time to continue to get repetitions and be ready. However, is it better that he stays back here and does that rather than going to Japan, playing in two exhibition games and two regular season games and all the other stuff that are distractions there in a good way, for people who are ready and able to play? In his case, you can make a strong case that he stays back and continues to work. The other side of it is, for the first time, when I asked Council yesterday, he admitted, he might start at AAA. Why AAA for domestic home, start of the season? And the answer is, they don't know if he'll be ready defensively. And They have other roster situations. They have Brujan, they have Birdie, they have Lopez, and they have Workman all fighting for positions. Plus, add this on to it. Horner, they expect to be ready for opening day. If he is, that gives you two or three less spots that are open. Turner is a part of that. He's actually a backup infielder, okay? So all of these guys, Ryan, every one of them have had a superlative spring training. Normally you say, you know, you don't put much credence into spring training, but the Cubs are really trying to beef up their bench. They like all these guys for many different reasons. Brujan played two or three different positions, can really run. Workman, a big power bat for a young guy that's controllable for the next 6 or 7 years. You have Birdie, who's a seasoned veteran that can start at second base or at third base. You have Turner that's getting his arm stretched out for the first time at third base after 2 years, will be the backup first baseman and first baseman against some tough left-handers when they don't want to put Michael Bush in. So there's a lot of moving parts here for Jed Hoyer and council to figure out by domestic opening day who is going to actually be on this team. Among those veterans, how can they trade them? How can they get them through waivers or back onto the team? None of them have options, okay? There's no minor league options for any of the guys that we mentioned.
Join the conversation, 312-644-6767. White Sox outfielder. It's almost hard to still say that, even though he's been in camp for the entire, you know, 6 weeks here. Michael Tauchman, White Sox outfielder, joins us at the bottom of the hour. Speaking of new outfielders, Kyle Tucker, 0 for 17 in spring. And I don't want to say there's panic, but there are some fans that are sitting there going, great, here we go. We're getting the superstar player, and look what he's doing. To me, Bruce, I've always thought for a veteran player, even if it's a new team, spring stats don't matter at all to me. As long as the guy's going out there and he's healthy and he's getting his repetitions, he's seeing pitching, the results aren't there. I'd rather have the results not be there right now in February and March than April and May. You had a chance. I know he spoke and said that he's feeling okay, that he's happy with where he's at. Obviously, the results are what they are. Let's hear from Craig Counsell first on Kyle Tucker's slow start, and then I want to ask you more about it.
When you're that accomplished, I think you get a pass. You know, that bottom line. And I think if you hadn't participated in examples before that have you've seen it, but you have, I have, and so it's a fluky thing, but really good hitters go 0 for 17 during the season, like, and have great seasons. Everything at the start, some of this will happen to a member of the Cubs probably in April, and that'll be a story.
Love it. I mean, basically verbatim how I feel. And I'm not the manager of the Cubs, obviously, but I like the idea that a veteran player who's had as accomplished as Kyle Tucker, quote unquote, is getting a pass at 0 for 17. This would be a bigger story if he was 0 for 3 to me and not getting in games, Bruce.
So the media variables as to reporting on this are different, okay? Accomplished guy, obviously a 30-30 guy, 400 RBIs, gold glover, you know, slam dunk, one of the 7 or 8 best players in the game. Okay, but here are the media variables that we report on and that we're going to talk about right now. Number one, coming to a new team who he knows very little about, other than playing a few games against them in his career. After being a career Houston Astro, and two, $500 to $600 million on the table as a free agent after this year. These are all real situations moving ahead as we get into the regular season. I doubt that that's impacting him right now, okay? He talked about it a little bit yesterday, with MLB.com and the fact that, you know, he's not worried about it, that he's convinced he's going to be fine, that he's just a little bit under the ball. I talked to Jordan Bastian of MLB.com, who covers the Cubs here locally, and he told him that both Dustin Kelly, the hitting coach, and Tucker agree that he's just a little under the ball right now, and he's just missing it a little bit. No major concern there, but again, the variables that we report on are real. You know, it'll be all season long. If he goes into a slump at some point during the regular season, it's always he thinking too much about being a free agent, the $500 million on the table. You know, is he having a hard time adjusting to Wrigley Field and the winds blowing in April and May, knocking down those would-be home runs? You know, it's all part of what we know challenges are in front of free agent, in front of a young veteran player like him coming to the Cubs as a savior, okay? He is being looked at as the star that's going to, you know, push the Cubs into the playoffs where they haven't been since 2020, realistically since 2018. So with that in mind, there is a lot of pressure there if you allow it to get to you.
Yeah, really well said. And if we're talking about this in a month, then to me, you know, much bigger story when it impacts the regular season in the first 12 or 15 games. Let's go to the phone lines. Mo in Oakbrook wants to join the conversation here on Inside the Clubhouse. What's up, Mo?
How's it going, guys?
We're good. What's up?
Honestly, I see no way Matt Shaw does not make this opening day roster. All we've got put down our throat this offseason was Matt Shaw, internal, third base. There's no way Matt Shaw does not make this opening day roster. If I got to sit here and watch Vidal Bruján and freaking Nicky Lopez manning down third base for the first 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to be really irritated.
We hear you. And again, Ryan, are you and I responsible for shoving Matt Shaw down people's throats, right? I mean, we've had Matt Shaw's been on the station probably three times since last November. He's a tremendously cooperative and bright young guy who, you like to see, there. From our perspective, as well as fans' perspective, because he's an open book. I'll tell you what an open book he is. Yesterday, I walked up to him, and I'm doing these previews for Marquee on a trip to Japan. And I said, Matt, before I ask you to do this, is this a jinx to you if I ask you about going to Japan and then you don't go? And he goes, yeah, I don't believe in jinxes, but what I believe in is I would look kind of stupid talking about it if I don't go. Pretty well thought out guy. I said, don't worry about it. We're not going to do it. When they announce you Sunday or Monday, if you're going, we'll do it then. But it just gives you a little idea of the maturity of, he didn't just say, oh, I can't talk about right. that. He internalized it. He said, yeah, there's no jinxes, but, it's just probably look stupid if I talked about it. So, again, it gives you a little bit of a look into the maturity of the guy and the idea that he's going to work really hard at this position and he's going to end up getting that three-quarters throw a little bit more over the top and make the transition. Will it happen immediately to their satisfaction? Maybe not. Again, we got insight from counsel yesterday for the first time that, maybe he will start at AAA. That was big news here in camp to me. I mean, again, the idea that there's still more work to be done with Matt Shaw.
I'm glad we're talking about work to be done and not as oblique anymore. I'm glad it's about, is he ready to play defensive? Here's what I think about Matt Shaw before we wrap up this part of the conversation. I think it's clear that they are, once he's here, they want him here. They don't want to do this thing where he's like grooming to learning to play at the big league level, kind of like what's going on with the White Sox. He's here to be their guy for now and in the future, and they want to make sure he's ready for that. And I really love this soundbite from Cubs bench coach, or this quote from Ryan Flaherty to Patrick Mooney from The Athletic. You watch him on the on-deck circle, and it's like, are you really ready to hit right now? He's got a really slow heartbeat. That kind of goes in line with what you were just saying about his maturity. Is the White Sox roster worse, but the arrow still pointing up than it was a year ago? Think about that. We're going to talk about that later in the show. White Sox outfielder Michael Tauchman on the other side of a break. Here on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine is down in Arizona. Ryan McGuffey here in Chicago. This is 670 The Score.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you can look around all big league camp and you just see all the young talent, and I feel like that's a big thing that the fans and everybody can look forward to. And also we have a lot of really good veterans who've had time and they're kind of steering us in the right direction and everything. And I think it's a good little mix and good camaraderie going on right now, and I think it's a good chemistry.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement. That's Colson Montgomery. You heard him right there talking about the excitement of camp and everybody down there in Glendale. That was on MLB Network earlier this week when they're doing their 30 clubs in 30 days and featuring a lot of those prospects. Colson Montgomery hitting just 143, but also a guy who's supposed to be back on the field this weekend, Bruce. Let's hope that that's the case, because he's been nursing an injury too, and he's a guy trying to win a job out of spring training as we wait for Mike Tauchman here to join us.
Yeah, look, there's every indication that Montgomery, first and foremost, can handle the job defensively. That's the number one thing. If you're on a major league team and you're the shortstop, you have to make the routine play routinely, okay? You must be able to do that. It's not only because the position is so demanding, but everybody looks at you on the team for leadership at that position. Shortstop is huge, and the next voice you hear will be someone who can talk even a little bit more about how the White Sox are doing than I do.
Yeah, let's go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today.
The Palatine Pounder, our good friend Michael Tauchman, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse, taking some time out from his workday. Michael, welcome. Bruce, Ryan, Inside the Clubhouse. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
First and foremost, the transition from team to team. You're not a rookie. You've been a professional player for a long time. But getting to know you, period, how difficult is that, even for a veteran player, to learn a whole new, you know, group of guys, you know, 30, 40 guys, a coaching staff, a manager, a front office? How much of that, you know, is distracting for a player doing that for another time like you are right now?
I don't know if distracting is the word, but there's definitely, you know, an adjustment period a little bit. You know, you feel like kind of, you know, kid at a new school, or, you know, however you want to say it. But, you know, it's been great. You know, there's a lot of new people around here, so it's like we're all kind of getting to know each other all at the same time. And, you know, we kind of brought in a nice group of veteran players this year. And there's a lot of young players who are really hungry for, you know, their first real opportunity in the big leagues. So, you know, that's a really nice mix. And, you know, the staff's been great at managing everybody's work. And, you know, I think things are off to a really good start.
Michael, I know you know, it's very rare when guys get to play at home. You know, and you had that opportunity with the Cubs the last couple of years. And then you get to the offseason after you were non-tendered. And right, like you're looking for an opportunity. And then the White Sox call, and you just have a baby, and you have a lot of family here in the area. How you know, excited not just to get that call, but the White Sox were aggressive in identifying you as a member or as a player to be part of this culture change and taking the arrow and pointing it up on the south side, and then you get to stay home where you can, you know, sleep in your own bed a lot and be around for your child, and it just how it was like the perfect marriage for the opportunity to continue in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely that played a big part in it. You know, we really enjoyed the last couple of years with the Cubs, being able to be at home, having our families around. You know, it's not something that a lot of guys get the opportunity to do. And kind of when the opportunity came to kind of circle back on it and, you know, be able to, yeah, spend another off season at home, especially, like you said, we have our daughter now. So it just made a lot of sense for us.
Michael, when you talk about the coaching staff and Will Venable, what have those moments been like for you? How essential is the coaching staff manager for a veteran player who they pretty much know what you can do? You pretty much know what you can do. It's just a question of communication and how you're going to fit in. How has that been so far?
It's been great. You know, talking to Will through some of, like, the free agency process and then reaching out to a couple people that have been around him, everybody just has awesome things to say. And you know, in my time here so far, I can see why. I mean, he's an excellent communicator, really on top of the little details, which, you know, you guys know matter a lot at this level. You know, seems like he's really good at kind of just keeping things pretty consistent. And then also, you know, he's able to explain and talk and teach in a lot of different ways, which I think just has kind of a trickle-down effect on the whole group.
I went back and I was listening to some of your interviews in spring training, and then I went back and kind of looked at that Zoom when you first signed with the White Sox and talked about veteran presence and how much you learned as a young player coming up from veterans, and now you're that guy. As the game gets younger, especially with a team that is maybe the youngest team in baseball, you're the guy now that people are coming up to, whether it's Colson Montgomery or guys who maybe might start in double or triple A. and looking to see, hey, how do you go about your business? What's your day-to-day like? How do you face this pitcher? How do you, when you're not feeling it and you're coming off an 0 for 8 or something, how do you keep grinding? How much do you enjoy that role now and kind of this role reversal of trying to learn how to fit in the big leagues and now being a guy in the big leagues that, like, let's be honest, I've talked to plenty of veteran players along. You never have it figured out. You're just trying to keep on keeping on. But now you're a guy that other young guys are coming up to you. Do you enjoy that?
I mean, I've always loved talking baseball. You know, I love the game. I love the strategy behind it. I love the preparation because it's just so there's not one way and there's not one path to success. So, you know, when I talk to the young guys, it's like, this is what worked or didn't work for me. And there are, like, regardless, like, you could have, you know, the smartest, most experienced veterans in the room, and there's still going to be a learning curve. There's still, like, you have to figure out what works for you. And that's what's going to give you the best chance for success. And I'm always, you know, I love talking baseball, so I'm always willing to, you know, share any sort of tips or experience that, you know, I've been fortunate to have along the way. But, you know, I think it's important to always say, you know, hey, this is what worked for me. It might not work for you, because every single player has had a different journey. Every single guy has, you know, cues or tips or, you know, things that they've done that's worked for them. And, you know, finding that is a big part of, you know, establishing yourself as a player.
You know, you are a unique talent in the game right now that has survived. And Michael, I want you to, you know, kind of talk about the fact that the middle range player, the guy who's a really good player that can go in and play for a week or 10 days at a time, or actually the case with the Cubs, play for a month at a time and be good and then go back and be on the bench, come off the bench and win a game late in the game. Those guys have been pushed out of the game because of the economics of the high salaries for stars and the idea that young guys have to come up before they're ready because of the economics of the game. Can you talk about, you know, the really good players like yourself getting squeezed out of the game and how that's impacted you professionally and, you know, mentally when you faced going from team to team or off-season to off-season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough, and I just kind of take every season in of itself. You know, I've never been, I was a senior sign. I didn't have a big signing bonus. I've never been on a top prospect list of any kind. So, you know, my attitude's always been, I'm playing for my next job every single year. And I'm really grateful, and I feel very lucky to keep, you know, getting opportunities. Like when I went overseas, I made that decision not thinking I'd ever get to play in the big leagues again. And I was okay with it. And then to have this opportunity has been, the last few years has been amazing. There's a lot obviously kind of going on in our game on the economic side with how teams are spending or not spending, or what players being valued for what and not valued for other things. I think that good teams, I think smart front offices know that it takes a collection of talent and experience and inexperience, and, you know, you got to have guys outperform their projections, and you got to have guys, you know, take steps forward every single year. And, you know, my attitude's always been, I love playing baseball. I want to win, and I love competing. And, you know, that kind of stuff takes care of itself in the end. But I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've had the last few years.
Piggybacking on that, do you, as you navigate the things that are going, you know, going on in the game that we've been discussing, and quite frankly, that's out of your control. I mean, it's a control the controllable situation. After you got the opportunity to come back, after Korea, like with the Cubs. Has there been a moment for you that you're like, okay, this is what works, this is who I am, like I've learned this and this is how I stick? Or do you, like, I mean, you just talked about living within every season as a way to keep your job, but is there something from post-Korea that has clicked for you that says, I have a place in this game now and going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a maturation process. I think there's a little bit of, hey, you did this, and now everything after this is house money, and, you know, just go out there and play. You know, I'm really fortunate that when I signed with the Cubs, just kind of how that first spring training went, David Ross wanted me on the team. And we had a great relationship. So for him to believe in me as a player, like that, that's very, very empowering. And then you kind of can start to believe in yourself. You know, when I was coming up as a young player, I thought, wow, like everybody in the big leagues is awesome all the time. And I think that I had sort of this imposter syndrome almost, where it felt like if I have a bad at bat or if I make a mistake, they're all going to realize that I'm not good enough. And you kind of start to see that it's like, no, guys have bad games, they still have confidence in themselves. Guys go through rough stretches, they still have confidence in themselves. And, you know, I heard last year somebody saying, I wish I could attribute the quote, but it was like, it takes a long time to have a really good season, and it takes a long time to have a really bad season. So just kind of learning how to have those slight ups and downs that happen in any baseball season kind of just helped me keep things in perspective and stay a little bit more neutral and just my controllables and, you know, my emotions.
In closing with you, Michael, and Ryan and I really appreciate your time. You talk to a million people in the game and you find out things. And, you know, last year I found out that you and your wife and Aaron Judge and his wife are pretty close friends. And, you know, we've heard an awful lot about Judge from afar, but maybe you can tell us about the awesomeness of the individual and what he's like, that beyond just being a great player, but a teammate and a friend.
Obviously we see on the field every single day, you know, he's the best player in the game. And there's a lot more than that. I mean, there's obviously, just, you know, his stature alone puts him kind of in the spotlight, and being in New York, you know, having the, success that he had as a rookie, it's hard, but if you didn't know, that's who he was. I mean, extremely humble, very gracious, a true leader. You know, when I got over there, you know, it really stuck out to me that he made it a point, you know, because I got traded sort of whirlwind last minute from Colorado to New York, and, you know, flew across the country to meet up with the team, not really know what's going on, never been traded before. And, you know, he made it a point to come over and introduce himself. And you know, it felt like he knew who I was, you know, you know, excited to have you. You're going to help us win some games. And, you know, that's leadership that I don't know if that can truly be taught, you know. I think that's just, that speaks to his character. And, you know, yeah, he's a good friend. And you know, I root for him. And, you know, awesome baseball player, awesome person.
Well, Michael, we really appreciate you joining us. You know, health, success in 2025 for you personally and with the Chicago White Sox, and look forward to you paying it back by hitting a walk-off homer maybe against the Cubs this year rather than the other way around like last year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Those games are always crazy.
Michael Tauchman joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Really good stuff. Really just, I love hearing perspective of guys like Michael Tauchman, Bruce, that have you know, grinded their way to success in the big leagues and have found a home, you know, and with his home here in Chicago and with the White Sox. It's fun to see a guy like that get the opportunity.
He's a really interesting study, and I know you've talked to him and observed him a lot while he was with the Cubs as well. And that is, you know, like Daily Herald and, you know, my friends who cover that the team from there would come out and try to talk to him about the Palatine angle all the time. He's not really interested in that, you know? I mean, he appreciates where he comes from and, you know, loves Chicago and, you know, loves being here. But this guy is, you know, so involved in his preparation every day. He has very little time for nostalgia. You know, it's mm-hmm. just like you see that urgency that he talked about in our interview every day of his preparation to be ready for whatever role that the manager and the coaching staff have in mind for him that particular day. And just being able to be to prepare for starting or coming off the bench and being your best, I think that's a really, really underrated part of success for a baseball team.
Totally agree. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown at the top of the hour. We're going to talk on the other side real quickly. Gerrit Cole might be really banged up. His elbow, I don't want to say Tommy John, I don't want to speculate because he's going under the microscope here, but the Yankees could be in trouble really quickly, and how that impacts the rest of Major League Baseball, including the Cubs. We'll talk about that and more on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey at 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Ben Brown joining us at the top of the hour here. Gerrit Cole in Yankees camp, Bruce, said he's concerned about the state of his pitching elbow. He had initial diagnostic imaging. And here's the quote that, if you're a Yankees fan or baseball fan, kind of scares you. We have an initial idea, but we're going to wait and see exactly what everybody says before we come to our conclusion. That does not sound good.
Yeah, conclusion means I'm not going to be on the field anytime soon, and we may have to have surgery. So if he has to have Tommy John, and I'm trying to think back. I haven't had a chance to look online here if he had one before. But
I believe he did. I'm going to look.
Yeah. He missed a lot of time last year. He didn't start the season until June last year with an elbow situation. And all of a sudden, one of the deepest pitching staffs in baseball is looking rather slim with Mike, with Stroman having been told he was going to the bullpen 10 days ago to now being maybe the third starter on the Yankees. You cannot have enough depth, and it changes the entire outlook of what that American League East is like and defending American League champion Yankees are all about going into the season. We're still 3 weeks away from starting. They've lost at least two starting pitchers, and you know you have to say, even if best case scenario, he's going to be missing the start of the year.
Yeah, he's actually never had Tommy John surgery. He's avoided it a few times, including last year when he missed, you know, the first half of the year and came back and pitched really well and into the World Series. So certainly a big loss, and the impact of those injuries. There's a ripple down effect that hits both leagues in terms of availability and who's around and who's going to eat up those innings for the Yankees, how it impacts guys like the Cubs. Ben Brown, he's going to join us on the other side of a break. He's trying to fight for the spot in the Cubs rotation. He might be the X factor. We're going to talk to him and discuss a lot more on the other side of a break. This is Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine down in Arizona. I'm Ryan McGuffey here in Chicago at 670 The Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.